Welcome to our program. I'm Richard Dugan, and today we're going to take a look at the story of a woman who is accused of being a prostitute. She came within a hair's breadth of being stoned and was actually raised up by a man whom she revered. And then the powers that be at the time took it all away from her. And we're going to find out about that energy. Stay with us. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan.
Talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you. Oh, won't you walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my very best to understand you.
And here we are. It is a Saturday afternoon, and we're going to be talking about Mary Magdalene. That's the woman that everything went wrong with her, and or at least with her story, let's put it that way. But she became quite an icon to many, many people down through the centuries. And it's been an interesting journey, to say the least. My guest is the proprietor, if you will, of Soul Support Systems, Flo Magdalena, and we're glad that you've joined us here on the program. You have actually written a couple of books, put together some materials, if you will, rather extensive and some might even say exhaustive, on Mary Magdalene. And first of all, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Richard. It's nice to be here with you again.
It is a pleasure to have you on the program and to talk about, some would say, a very extraordinary woman, and some would say a woman who does not deserve to have heaped upon her the accolades that some would. And even if I just read the King James Version of the Bible, she was the first human being, according to the writings, who recognized Jesus following the resurrection. And yet, and that was a big deal. She had no doubt whatsoever who he was.
That's very true. My experience of Magdalene began in 1988 when I had an experience with a fellow named Piet van der Horst, who gave me a reading, and he said to me, "You were the closest individual to Christ. You were the one who followed him through all of his process, all of his life experience, and you were a woman disciple." And at that point, I was Protestant, and I said to him, "Well, I must have been the prostitute, because you're talking about Mary Magdalene, and from my experience, that's what she had been termed, and that was the kind of energy that was around her at that point." And I had just started in metaphysics about 9 years before that, and so I began to think about that. It was at Easter time that I actually began to think about it more, and I had an experience with her and with Christ in March 28th of 1989, which was Maundy Thursday. And then from there, I began to learn another side of Magdalene.
Okay, wait a minute. What was that Thursday again?
It's Maundy Thursday. It's the night of the Last Supper.
Okay. I'd never heard of it referred to as such.
Yeah, M-A-U-N-D-Y.
Okay.
Maundy Thursday. And I had an experience of Christ and Magdalene that night, which basically took me back in time. And what I've come to understand through the archetype of Magdalene is that she takes people through the journey of the soul to the heart of their own truth.
And that is what we're going to talk about here on the program, as well as the story of Mary Magdalene as you have come to understand it and reveal it through a particular work that you have, and it is I Remember Union. And we're going to talk about that as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. Your website, again, is soulsupportsystems.com. Is that or is that .org?
.org.
.org. Yeah. So it's soulsupportsystems.org. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest is Flo Magdalena. And we are going to continue talking about this, quite honestly, remarkable woman, both Flo as well as Mary Magdalene, who is showing us a way that maybe we haven't seen before. Stay with us. I'm Richard Dugan. And if you'd like to call, 564-1290. That's 564-1290. This is Tell Me Your Story. Tell Me Your Story. Flo Magdalena is my guest, and that is what she is doing here on the program today, telling us her story, but also the story of Mary Magdalene. If you've read the accounts of Mary in the Bible, you know that she was considered a prostitute. But she did some rather amazing things before the crucifixion of Jesus, and a couple of those having to do with anointing his feet with oil and so on and so forth, and actually drying his feet with her own hair. And if I had hair, I might consider doing the same thing. Nonetheless, I have to say that the other incident that took place, because she was a prostitute, and this was actually more from a comedic perspective flow, the incident in the Bible where she is about to be stoned. And basically, the story, and I paraphrase with my own words here, Jesus basically bent down in the dirt and he doodled. He wrote, we don't know what he wrote in the dirt, but some speculate that it was to the men who were about to stone Mary, it was basically their names and the fact that they had been with Mary, and they, as one comedian put it, dropped their rocks and split. And of course, she turned to Jesus and he forgave her and all of those different things to the accounts in the Bible. How much of what we read from those accounts is really true? And how relevant is it, whether it is or isn't, I guess, maybe even a better point.
I think the most relevant information that we can relate from the Bible is that Magdalene had a certain energy charge that made a very strong impression on all the individuals who met her, and that she had a very special place in the heart of Christ. What I found in my experience, which was basically memory, going into a parallel reality type of experience and recalling that consciousness, and what I remembered was a very strong bond between Christ and Magdalene, as you would call it, a divine union. In my experience, there was not a physical union as much as there was a collective consciousness that they shared and brought to the planet. And I was very much in my initiation with her through these memories, brought to an understanding of how we can work with the soul and the design of each person to call them together, the soul and the design, into the physical framework so that the mind acquiesces to that soul energy and we begin to live our full potential on the planet. And Mary Magdalene, as far as I was able to tell, and I'm able to rekindle that connection with her and utilize her archetypal energy, is a shamanic midwife. And she calls forth from each person the deepest part of their knowing, brings their truth into the moment, and then catalyzes that so that each person remembers not just their individual divinity, but how they are connected to each other living human being on this planet. So she talks about peace. She talks about interconnectedness. She supports all of the major ideas of all of the major cultures and ethnic groups and religions and spiritual dimensions. And she's very much a part of all of that consciousness and not able to be separated from it, as the King James Version of the Bible would have us believe.
So is it a fair assessment to say that because the religious organization at that time was made up exclusively of men, and because of the level at which women were placed status-wise, it's not surprising that she received the low mark, shall we say, that she received, and the title of a prostitute, which is A, the oldest profession in the world, according to some, but B, also the worst profession in the world.
Well, I think there's a couple things, Richard. The first thing is, I think that there's a chapter in I Remember Union called And They Came to Me, the People, and it talks specifically about what her job was. And her job was to serve the soul, not the body and not the mind, but the soul. And when we decide to serve the soul of another human being and we decide to empower that soul to take its rightful place in our experience, one of the things that happens is we do not have a category to put that into. When we raise the kundalini in another individual and we open their energy centers and we bring peace and harmony into their experience, the closest thing that we can relate with that experience is the sexual orgasm. Because what we're opening to is our profundity, our divinity, our open expansiveness. And there's no place to put that in a logical framework. So I think part of what happened was that that movement of her divine energy and her capacity to open that in other people was relegated, if you will, to the most common experience that we could relate it with. And I think that that's what happened, and it was, if sometimes we talk about it as tantric, but it wasn't sexual. A prostitute is in some way utilized in our society as someone who fills in a blank for somebody else. And I think what she did was the greatest service possible, which is to elevate our consciousness, not move us more into the energy of sex or the root energy. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I think that she basically worked on a level that utilized the heart and utilized the deepest intention of each person to be true to themselves.
There is a vibration in everything, as we have spoken about on this program with numerous guests. Probably every guest we've had would acknowledge that reality as we understand it thus far. What about the name Mary Magdalene? Does that give you any clue, or is, again, that just something to, is that just a label that we put on this female energy or this female who existed in history? Is there a meaning to that name that I don't know, guided her life, or was it like some people choose their names?
Well, I think that her name and the vibration that she carried and the choice that she embodied was basically to portray or to relate to us her vibration, as you said, and her design, the design that she had to come here and bring this message. And I think her name is a direct vibrational connection to Isis, to the feminine, and to the matriarchal society, and the energy that, when we say the Magdalene, there is the tower. It means tower. It means the embodiment of the center of consciousness vertically, and that's what she stood for. She opened our vertical consciousness, and that means, as you think about all of the rainbow colors stacking themselves up in our body and opening us to that foundation of our own energy system, as it were, she stands for the capacity to hold that in a vertical alignment, which basically, to me, signifies truth. It's the truth of one individual, but it's the truth of all individuals, and that we're all walking that path to come to that one truth. And I think also, if I could just add one more
sure.
thing.
Sure, no, go ahead.
She very much, in a very interesting way, my book is written in such a way that Christ does not die on the cross. This is a whole huge kind of illusion that we created in that particular time period, because there are many Eastern Indian scholars who have noted that Christ did arrive in India and in other countries after the resurrection. And so there's a whole scheme here of illusion versus reality, and Judas and Christ being friends, and they're creating this illusion of separation and betrayal to teach us about those processes. And we've discovered very recently that there is truth in the fact that Judas and Christ were friends and there was no betrayal. And there's a lot of lessons that are woven into this book that I wrote called I Remember Union, which has specific intention to take us away from what we think is fact and what we think we have to believe in order to be okay, the idea that religion is our savior, is our security, and are the rules through which we need to understand our life and live it, to this internal space where we are the ones that create our reality. We are the ones that hold consciousness so that it feels safe to us through our ability to understand ourselves as creators. So a lot of what Magdalene brings and what Christ brings and what Judas brings in this kind of triangle, if you will, is this sense that there is no right or wrong. There is no one to blame. There is no separation possible, that we're really already, always, and forever unified. So this understanding, I think, is reflected in the let's say, just say stories that people come up with. I have a story. Many people have a story. I'm friends with Kathleen McGowan. She has a story about Mary. There are many people who decide through looking at art and looking at history and looking at all the stories that Christ and Magdalene had a certain kind of relationship and they had this and they had that. And what's interesting to me is that Magdalene tells different stories. And I once asked a group that I was speaking to, why do you think Magdalene does this? Why do you think she tells so many different stories and gives us so many options for belief? And what we came up with as a group was the idea that she is asking us to look at our connection and what the kernel of truth inside Magdalene is about versus what the storyline reads. Because if we take our lives away from what we think is real and true for us, and we begin to open that to a larger gamut of understanding and an array of possibilities, we're then much more enriched by the diversity of, well, how about if that was true, how about if this was true, and let's create a story where we can blend and weave our understandings so that we come into a collective space of understanding and truth versus having to be right.
You know, you bring to mind the experience that I had many years ago when the movie The Last Temptation of Christ came out, huge controversy, and I was so intrigued because of the controversy, and had it not existed, I never would have gone to see the movie, I never would have read the book, and never would have understood that Cousin Zakeh's whole message was, these are just my musings. It's just kind of what I think might have happened. I'm not saying it's true.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of putting it out there, you know, as, you know, people put out their memoirs.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that whole thing rather fascinating. And you're doing a similar treatise, if you will, to Mary Magdalene, saying, look, this is what I've experienced. I'm putting it out here on the table, and in this case, physically, in two written forms. I remember Union, and the other one was Sunshine.
Sunlight on Water.
Sunlight on Water.
Uh-huh.
And one actually goes into the other. One is the story, the information, if you will. The other is a workbook, and I want to get into that as well as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. But before we do that, I wanted to ask you about the energy of Mary Magdalene. Seems really appropriate for women, but what's in it for the guys, so to speak? I mean, how do we unite, if you will, the duality of our sexes on this planet in that context?
Well, I won't say the obvious that there must be something in it for men, because Christ was very interested in Richard.
Well, this is true.
But basically what Magdalene does is she midwives the soul. She's the one that is the midwife. So she is offering her service to men and women and children. She's offering her consciousness to all living beings. And she's the one that's there to carry us over the mountaintop, to carry us over the chasm into the understanding of ourselves as immortal, very conscious beings. And so she is a way shower. And what's interesting about it is that the dogma of the society that is attached to Christ is not really attached to her, because in leaving her out of the Bible, those people who, you know, in I think it was 334 when they did the, you know, the there was a Nicene Creed, and they had this whole, you know, meeting about what are we going to put into the Bible and what are we going to keep out.
Mm-hmm.
By keeping her out, it's interesting. We give her a lot of expansiveness to grow into whatever we want her to be, don't we? And the other part of that is, you know, that having Christ have the dogmatic energy that he has, in some ways, which is what the masculine has had to take on, the feminine liberates that and says, well, why don't we go over here where we can dance in the consciousness of the heavens and begin to build new worlds. So it's an invitation to all of us to dance to a different kind of drummer and to be available. And I think really when the stoning occurred and Christ showed up, it was basically to take the power from the matriarchy and give it to the patriarchy. And in that moment, there was a kind of movement out of the maternal matriarchal energy of consciousness, where the women were meeting in these caves and doing these initiations, which, by the way, we still do with soul recognition, which is part of soul support systems. We do these same kinds of shamanic energy experiences, and I've brought them into the world now so that we can utilize them for our initiations, our rites of passage. And when we do that, and we bring that matriarchal energy back into the patriarchal experience, we balance it. So I think it's basically both. And it's not either or. It's the sense of everyone has a soul, everyone has a design.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of worrying about, well, who slept with who and what progeny's there and where do we go from here, I think it's very important that we really focus on what is our personal design. What is it that our soul came to do? How can we use the archetypes of Christ and Magdalene to unify the male and the female within each of us? And how do we show up in the world when that occurs as balanced individuals, vertically aligned, and bringing our truth into each moment?
I just find it all, again, very extraordinary and fascinating because it opens up a new realm for us to delve into, a void that has great possibilities and potentials, and we're going to continue to pursue that as we continue in talking with Flo Magdalena about Mary Magdalene, that energy here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Hope you'll stay with us. We have more to come, and we encourage your participation. Give us a call, 564-1290 or 866-564-1290. This is Tell Me Your Story. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you for joining us on the program as we are talking about the energy of Mary Magdalene. And we're going to continue doing so as we talk with Flo Magdalena of Support Soul Systems. SoulSupportSystems.org. That's SoulSupportSystems.org. We'll give all that information out as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. Our number here, 564-1290. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. This program is coming to you from the Central Coast of California, Santa Barbara, and we're certainly happy to be streaming live on the internet and talking with Flo Magdalena, and we're talking about the energy of Mary Magdalene. Flo, I'm just curious, your last name, Magdalena, is that chosen?
Yes, it is. Very briefly, I had an experience where I was in a church and a minister said, if you had to go before God right now and write your name on a piece of paper and hand it to God, what would your name be? And I sat there for a few minutes and I thought, wow, you know, I have this name and I have that name. But the only name that really, for me, was strong enough to hold the energy that I aspire to live was Magdalena. So I added that to the end of my name.
And is it Mary Magdalene or Mary Magdalena?
Well, I think in Hebrew, the vowels are interchangeable.
Of
and
course.
So I think in ancient times it was Magdalene, and I just took Magdalena because it felt to me that that was my vibration.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know that there are people and who have chosen a new name and they have a birth name, and then they come up to a certain point in their lives, they decide, you know what, this name here fits me better, and so they change it. And for many of them, their old name just doesn't fit it, because that new name with the new vibration changes them in such a way. How long have you had this name, this new name?
Oh, I think since about 1992.
And did you notice a significant change at that time when you said, this is the name I'm going to be known as?
Well, yes, I did. And also numerologically, the new name with my middle name, which is Aivia, which is the name that my soul gave me in my first soul recognition, that whole combination brings me more into community and less out of my ego, which I think is awesome. It was a kind of a side benefit. It's like, okay, I'm here to bring together the tribe, which is the deepest thing in my heart, actually.
That is very, yeah. Well, we are all about community here at Tell Me Your Story. That is one of the things that we are seeking to develop and create and foster and nurture and all of those wonderful things, to have communities all over the world who are practicing, and I like to use the term, the verb community, where we are interdependent upon one another. And the bottom line is that, yes, you have your own personal space, but you also are part of a group that works together to create and create all kinds of things, not just the foods and drinks that you need to sustain life and the lodging, but also the fun, the energy, the excitement, the adventure of life. And so,
well, I think another way of looking at community is common unity.
I like that even better.
Yeah, common unity.
Common unity. Well, that is what we are really working to foster here, and we certainly are thankful for your being with us. Now, you also, just out of curiosity, who are the ones with no name?
Ah. Well, the book starts out in this place called the Swing Between Worlds, and the Swing Between Worlds is an interdimensional space, sometimes in Buddhist philosophy, for example, termed the bardo, where we choose our reality through our consciousness and the evolution of what we remember, because consciousness is really about what we remember, isn't it? So as we think about that universal space, there are guardians of that space, what we might call spiritual guidance counselors, and the ones with no names are spiritual guidance counselors. And they actually show up for each person to assist them to choose their astrological date of birth, for example, their parents and their lessons and their learnings and what they're going to contribute in a lifetime. So the book starts out, and as the movie will, we're going to do a movie too, Richard, which I'm very excited about. The book starts out with the nameless ones interviewing Christ, Magdalene, and Judas. And they each are talking about what they are going to learn in their lifetime, what they're going to contribute, and how they're going to actually formulate that consciousness together. What are they going to show up and create in the world? And so the nameless ones are with each of us. And I've been doing readings for, oh gosh, since they came to me in 1986, actually. And so since 86, I've been doing readings for people about actually what their blueprint is and how their design shows up for them and what that's about. And the nameless ones have been very beautiful and present in all of our experiences, whether we know of them or not, as that body of light and energy amorphically who holds the substance of our consciousness for us and relates that contextually to us when we're ready to hear that message in whatever way that comes forth.
And I want to see that movie. That is that would be very exciting. I and again, we do have to say that, in all honesty, Flo, that this is still all, to a certain degree, for most people listening, this is all speculative. There is nothing in concrete that can validate anything any more than that which people acknowledge as concrete, the canon of Scripture, because, you know, there will be those who will go through their litany of apologetics to defend it, but the reality is that in time immemorial, man has decided to go along and change things and adjust things and twist and turn and on and on and on. The Freedom of Information Act, you want a document from the government and most of it's going to be blacked out. Uh-huh. I mean, case in point. So, you know, we put this before the listener and say, look, this is a, because I find this extraordinary. I mean, I'm just very excited about, I mean, I did not know there was going to be a movie.
Yeah, well, it's in the works.
It's very, very cool.
You know what's interesting, Richard, when I think about it, and I've had some friends also who have written books about Magdalene and have held containers for this information. And, you know, we all have a perception. And as you know, the three of us, you know, Amrita's here and you're here and I'm here, and then we have the listeners in, and we're all in this field together. We're all listening and working together in this common kind of consciousness in this particular moment, and everyone has a different perception about what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we write it down, and it becomes fact if we decide it is or not. And we have, I think, an opportunity now to say, how does it resonate with me?
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel? What is it about this story or another story that I can relate with and that brings me to emotional clearing, brings me to stronger awareness of who I am in the world, and brings me to a place where I can accept myself, where I can connect in with all that is, and become part of that conscious movement for common unity, for peace, for interrelationship and whatever. And that's the only important thing to me,
mm-hmm.
is how do we choose to relate to everything that comes across our plate, and what are we finding that resonates so that we can feel stronger in our inner wisdom? Because in the final analysis, you know, we know there's no right and wrong. We know there's nobody else to blame. We know there's no place to go with stuff. We have to go inside. And the more we have tools to do that, the easier it is. And that's what Sunlight on Water is. Sunlight on Water brings the tools for working with the nameless ones, working with the hypothalamus, working with the amount of light we carry in our body, learning to ground, learning to work with our own polarities, understanding how to create security in our soul, working with guidance. You know, many, many different questions that arise on the spiritual path are worked with in Sunlight on Water, and that's a, you know, skillful means for living from the soul, which I think personally is the only thing we can do, because the psyche acquiesces to the soul. It doesn't acquiesce to anything else. So we can be fighting those mind thoughts and the blame and the rejection and the jealousy and the anger and all the kinds of judgment that we have. And we can be fighting to, oh, I don't want to have that, but I have it, I have this and that. And it's only when we go into that soul space that that ceases to exist. So that's what our soul recognition is, to take people into that soul space, to ground them in there, and then to give them opportunities through some of the methods that we've honed in. One of the things I talked about on your program last time was the soul seed,
yes,
which is an actual vibration that Magdalene worked with to bring the clarity of each pattern into a definition so that people actually embody the vibration that they carry in their soul seed. So that's another thing we're working with. And by the way, I'm writing a third book. I don't know if I told you, it's almost ready to be published. It's called Honoring Your Child's Spirit. It's about working with children in utero to assist them to connect to their soul seed, so they're born really feeling who they are, knowing how they can enter into the world as a kind of autonomous and deeply connected being, and relate with their parents and particularly with their mom in utero, so that they understand what they're coming into, what the system is about, and how to work with that in more balance.
And what's the difference between those children that you're speaking of and, say, the one term that I'm still researching, and hopefully we'll have some guests on talking about, indigo children?
Well, indigo children are coming from a vibration that allows them to see more of their consciousness be exhibited and to create from that consciousness in the world. So they're not as bound by conditioning from their parents. When we work with the parents now who may or may not be indigo children, and we say to them, you know, you have an opportunity to instill in your pre-birth experience with your child in utero, the soul of your child, you have the capacity to move that child outside of that conditioning. It's giving tools to those who may not understand that consciousness in working to create a relationship where the child is freer from the bondage of the logical, literal mind, which basically stymies creation and in some, you know, to some degree, prevents this sense of openness. You know, when we think about children and we try to have them live by the rules of the society, many times we stunt their growth. And so we're really looking in all of us, I think, in terms of how we work with consciousness to say, you know, there's no time and space. You know, we are really free to create whatever we want. There aren't these rules anymore. And let's instill the awareness that we have as parents from a very early age, so that the children can say, yeah, I understand this. Can you hold my hand, and can we go into the world differently than our ancestors? And so we have a lot of opportunity now to really birth our children in light. One of the things that's very important in the I Remember Union book is the fact that as a midwife, Magdalene went around and birthed children in light. She helped them remember, and their parents to remember, you are light, and light you shall remain. You come to earth, but you're not from earth. You know, you're a body with a spirit, and you're a spirit with a body, and let's bring that together and utilize that in a way that makes a difference in every single breath that you take.
When we come back from our break, I'm going to have you conduct an exercise you did in our previous program, and it takes a few moments to do, so I want to allow enough time for that. But I also want to thank you for your support of this program. It's an interesting dynamic that we have going here, because you are connected with many of the people that we've had on the program, and I shared with Barbara Marks Hubbard, whom you know, that I know there's another way to live. I don't know what it is, but I know it's out there, and darn it, I am going to search for it, and I'm going to find it. And through all of the folks that we've had on the program that we've met and met with here in Santa Barbara area, the Central Coast, it's been an extraordinary journey. I'm loving it, and I'm glad that my wife and I are able to take this journey together and have such a great time. And I, again, want to thank you for sharing your time with us. And stay tuned. We're going to be talking more with Flo. And you know which exercise I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be going into that when we get back from our break. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, and Flo Magdalena is my guest, and it is soulsupportsystems.org, soulsupportsystems.org. You can hear this interview following the broadcast up on my website, Richard Dugan. That's Richard, Dugan.com. And we'll be back. This is Tell Me Your Story. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and we're talking with Flo Magdalena about the Magdalene energy of Mary Magdalene. And one question before we get into the exercise that you're going to give us. Where was she from? Because I'm not recalling what, I mean, we know it was Jesus of Nazareth, I guess, because he was born there. Where was she from?
Well, I think she was from Migdal, M-I-G-D-A-L, which is up a little bit to the north. And I actually went there when I was doing my research for the book. Of course, my research for the book was to go to the land and ask the land to help me remember. And I ran into this woman, and I asked her about Mary Magdalene, and she went and got her grandmother or her great-grandmother, and I said, you know, something about Magdalene. She goes, Maria Magdalena, Maria Magdalena, and she starts to point, and she pointed up into the mountains, and it was very beautiful. And I think that's where she was from. There's probably some controversy about that, but I think that that's probably pretty accurate.
Well, it was interesting what you mentioned before about the writers of the Bible and the Nicene Council and so forth, and the fact that they wrote her out almost completely except for a few passages, and gave all the rest of us the freedom to say, well, okay, then we will create, you know, what it is that we need, and yet we still do the same thing with, even with Jesus, because there's still a lot of information that we feel we need to have, and many people say, hey, we have it, to better understand. To get a better understanding of what you have through soulsupportsystems.org, you have an exercise that you're going to take us through, and I will sit here quietly as you do that, and we can give you about 5 to 7 minutes to do that.
All right. Well, what I'd like to first say is that Mary Magdalene, as a midwife, has taught me that the most important part of our psyche and our consciousness is the soul seed. And it's located, if you were to take your hands on both sides of your ribs and come around into the center, there's a pointy piece of cartilage at the base of the sternum called the xiphoid process. And there's a little point there that is actually pointing to the soul seed. This is an access point. So what I like to do with people is usually just have them take their fingertips and just place their fingertips gently at that spot, and to begin to breathe in to that spot, using the fingertips as a sensor. And then as you breathe into that spot, you basically just ask a question or make a statement that I'd like to begin to be more connected to my soul essence. I'd like to know more about my direction. I'd like to have some help in making the following decision. I'd like to rest in this place where I know I belong and where I don't have to fight and prove anything and make things up or try to fit in. I just want to be in the place where I belong. So we just begin to breathe into that space, and as we do that, our breath deepens. And we get stronger in the resonance of what's there. And I like to breathe through my fingers deep down into that point of light, and then let that light come out as I breathe out so that the light starts to fill my body. And the idea is that literally as we get in touch with the soul seed, we become more connected to the original, unique design that we carry. And that design has in it everything about us. It's a full blueprint of our pure consciousness. It's also a guidance system, and it's also a foundationing place where we can really rest in the knowing that we're home and that we know what we need to know when we need to know it. And as we breathe into that space, we also have a connection with the larger universe, because the soul seed is the microcosm and the expanded space of the breath is the macrocosm. And we have this sense of going in and going out and that it's the same thing. So we also then open ourselves to a more direct way of finding our place in the world. And, of course, what we also do is create an environment in that vibration where we resonate, and then everything around us starts to resonate in the same way. So, for example, as we breathe into the center of the soul seed and then breathe out and carry that with us, we have this sense that we're actually creating a field that is vibrationally congruent with who we are, and that congruence then allows the people around us to know us more deeply so that we can be more honorable, more truthful, more present, more available. And the inner and the outer then flows together, and pretty soon, instead of having to stand up for ourselves or make statements or work out conflicts or try to figure things out, we're in a place where the environment reflects exactly who we are, and that begins to grow. So when we go to work, when we're driving, when we're relating, whatever we're doing, there's a sense that people feel us more strongly, can connect with us more deeply, and also can refer to us more directly as someone who they know and understand. So I just invite each of you to listen to this place, develop a connection with it, and honor the space that you carry, because it has your name on it. It has your uniqueness in it, and it will bring you the balance and the clarity that you seek in each and every aspect of your life. So I gave you a couple minutes, Richard, to follow up on this if you want to. And I just recommend that people look at the soulsupportsystems.org website. We have conference calls on Monday nights. We have one coming up on Monday night. People can just join in and listen to channelings that bring information about this particular part of our evolution as a species, where we are, what's up, how we can feel more connected and begin to work with this common unity that you and I are so dedicated to bringing forth.
Well, we encourage people to do that. And, of course, they can get the information for those conference calls at your website. All right, and that is soulsupportsystems.org, soulsupportsystems.org. You can also access her website through richarddugan.org, .com. Mine is a .com, richarddugan.com, and you can also listen to this interview again following this broadcast, or any time, quite honestly, and a lot of folks tend to do that, and it's really kind of nice to have that opportunity to provide the information again and again and again and again, as well as live and streaming on the Internet every Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as we get together for an hour to talk about these new paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge to create, quite literally, anything that you want. And there have been instances, I have to say, Flo, just in this past week, things have happened so quickly in that extent. It's just, and they're almost somewhat innocuous. I made the comment to my boss because he was just wrapping up his jury term of jury duty. I said, I would really like to do that. And guess what I got in the mail the other day? Yes, exactly. So there you go. It will happen to all. And I've only been here, well, we've been here 2 years on the Central Coast now. As of yesterday, the 9th of May, 2006, we moved here, and it was a wonderful journey, and we're certainly happy happy to be here. And happy that you joined us, Flo, and I want to thank you. Stay on the line as we wrap up our program, and I want to encourage our listeners to get in touch with you at soulsupportsystems.org. Next week is... Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
As always.
We are going to have an interesting program next week, and it is going to be dealing with some of the energies that are within our bodies to guide us through our daily lives. Kinesiology, I learned about this many, many years ago, looping the thumb and the first finger together and then looping the other thumb and first finger around that like a chain, and then saying yes and no. And if you say yes, it stays together. If you say no, it comes apart, or however you almost choose to do it. But there are other ways of just kind of you. It's. I'll be honest with you. It's like intuition. But we're going to learn a little bit more about that, and some other wonderful and extraordinary inventions that have come out. Again, this is all to help us to free us from the limitations that we've created in our lives, especially through our health, so that we can move on to those higher things, those greater things. And we certainly hope that you'll join us next Saturday here on Tell Me Your Story, 3 p.m. And we will look forward to seeing you here with our special guest talking about kinesiology. Coming up in future weeks, yes, Barbara Marks Hubbard and Greg Braden will be joining us in June. Once again, my thanks to Flo Magdalena. I thank you for joining us. You have yourselves a great Saturday. Love to Lal. And are you there, Flo?
I am.
There we go. All right. Wonderful. I wonder, Amari, did you have any other questions that you wanted to ask?
I was wondering if she knew of any, do you know of anybody that... On the West Coast here, any groups or anything that we can get in contact with that would be more of a support group that would be interested in this, in the same type of thing. I know that in Phoenix, I think there was a Magdalena Society there. I was never able to really hunt them down, but I was just wondering if you might know of anybody on the West Coast here.
Well, I do know some people who are in our community. They're down. There's someone in Palos Verdes, mostly in the Palos Verdes area, and then also in the L.A. area.
We have some
people. Yeah. What we do sometimes is, well, like we had a gathering up in Camp Colby, which is up in the San Bernardino Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of different individuals who've done our programs and who do this work.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be individually working, however, and then when we sometimes get together. But I'll keep you informed about what we're doing and how we might interface. That would be awesome.
That would be great. Thank you so
Are
much.
Are you at all coming east?
Not in the near future that we know of. Where are you?
I'm in Vermont.
Vermont.
Oh, Vermont. Yeah.
Well, we might be flying over Vermont on our way to Ireland.
When are you going to Ireland?
Well, our plan right now is February of next year, around the 2nd of February, which is Amrita's birthday.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Yeah. Well, we're going to go do soul recognition and a facilitator training in soul recognition in Ireland in July.
Oh, wow.
And then we're going to Glastonbury to do a soul recognition.
Oh, cool.
At Chalice Well, yeah. I'm excited about that. Yeah.
Where in Ireland are you going to be?
We're going to be in the kind of lower, let's see, I think it's Killarney.
Oh, Killarney?
In that area, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Where was Bridget's Well, Richard? Was that in?
That was in Kildare.
In Kildare, yeah.
Kildare.
Yeah, we had quite a wonderful time there in Ireland back in February of 2004, which is how long it's been since we've been there.
Oh, okay.
And miss it deeply. It was.
Oh, it's so amazing, isn't it?
I love it there.
The people are so wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're very open to this work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's where we want to live. That's where we would like to move to one day permanently. And I know that'll happen. It's just waiting for the universe to. It's like waiting for the universe to, come on, pick up the cues and let's get with the program.
So, Amrita, how's your salve going?
It's going. I have a lot of friends and relatives and, you know, friends of friends that are actually buying it. And I have it in a local store here. It's moving slow, but that's okay because, you know, I'm not interested in getting anything crazy, you know. I'm just I like taking slow, deliberate steps and not letting it get out of control. So
right.
I'm happy the way it's going. I really am.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's great.
And I feel very good about it. I just You know, as I probably have already talked to you about it, was it a channeled formula, and that kind of came together for me, and so. You know, we'll just see.
What's the main thing that you feel it would be used best for?
It's very good for any kind of skin condition. Like I have a couple people that use it for their psoriasis.
Uh-huh.
I use it for cuts and abrasions. You know, if Richard has chafing or any, if you get like a bug bite, I actually use it on my skin every day. Just as instead of lotion, you know, that you'd buy in the store,
uh-huh.
I use this and. So it works very well for a lot of, you know, little dry skin, you know, so.
Well, I would love to have some. Can I buy some from you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, we get some in the, shoot some in the mail to you.
Yep.
Absolutely.
What we can do is, I'm multitasking here. I'm mixing down the interview so I can put it up on the website. let's see.
Just get an address. We'll pop some in the mail.
Yeah.
I think I have your email. I have your email, so I'll send you an email.
Oh, that'll okay.
work. That'll
my
be
address.
Okay.
And then you can just let me know how much to send you.
Okay. Alrighty. Right. Good. We'll get it in the mail to you this week.
Matter of fact, probably will want to do that this week. We sent several packets to my parents in Phoenix, and it just so happened that it was a little on the warm side when it got there. But what we do is we seal it in a plastic bag. Now, the canisters didn't leak, actually. That was the one plus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
But just as an added protection, that's one of the things that we did, just to be on the safe side. So, yeah, we'll get that out this week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That'll be a good thing.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your interest. That's lovely.
I would love to take advantage of it and then, you know, actually tell other people about it as well.
Okay. All right. I'll send you some little pamphlets, too. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate your interest in my work, and I hope we can stay connected.
Absolutely.
Well, I guarantee you that we will.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Have a wonderful evening.
Yeah,
yes,
you too,
and
Paul.
We'll have you back on, especially when you get that movie in gear.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Richard.
You bet.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.